You are listening to Roquandia Radio. Good Middlebrox, everybody. I hope you have had a wonderful weekend. I know I did. Now that I only have one moon to look at in the sky, things have gotten so much better. Though, even the plants and animals in my yard have stopped radically evolving. Maybe that'll simmer down for a little while. I'm hoping it will. Though, I could have sworn I saw a caterpillar that was like almost a foot long yesterday. I worry about what it could become. People, my yard is starting to scare me. I'm thinking about putting my property up for sale. Maybe sell it to a nice genetic engineer or something. They would love a property like that, I think. Anyway, let's get on to some important announcements. Yes, apparently last week's episode, season one, 18, Roquandia Radio's. Oh, well, we got censored. Oh, we got censored a lot. Oh, what? We got removed? Wait, that episode was just deleted? Wow. Alright, listeners, so, apparently, Roquandia Radio does have the rights to just completely obliterate a number. Remove it from existence entirely. And, they did that with the episode. Apparently, Consuela, his cooking meal for the day was to summon a demonic spirit who moved between radio waves and thought. Oh, nasty thing. Oh, we were all mind blanked. That explains why I can't recall this episode. All right, you know, to keep us all safe from the evil mind-eating demon. Well, I hope we never remember what happened then. Good for me. Well, that's creepy it done. Why is Consuela summoning thought demons? What kind of meal did he have planned? I hope somebody convinces him never to cook that again. Or else we'll just go through this again. Yeah. Oh, we got a listener to some news today. Across the ether, apparently in a place called Russia. What are they rushing off to? A walrus attacked a Navy ship, and the walrus won. So, what's a walrus? What is a walrus? Whoa. Alright, let's see. Okay, we got the Zootophile website up here. Alright, let's see. We got a walrus. Alright, two big old tusks. Ugh. It's a fat ass looking guy, isn't it? It is nasty looking. Look at them whiskers. That skin, ugh. It just looks like a blobosaurus. Right, and a pound of 300 to 1,000 at most? Ugh. This thing can swim? That's a nasty critter. Well, I can understand why a walrus might have beaten a Navy ship up. I wonder what it had that the walrus wanted. Well, listeners, I'll go ahead and pass you along to the music today. We have our lovely musical guest, Dave the Harmonicron, once again. He came back. I don't know why. But, you know, I don't make judgments. No, I really don't understand him sometimes. Bruticus here, listeners, and I have with me Dave the Harmonicron once again. I don't speak harmonica, Dave. I don't speak harmonica at all. I done told you that. Now, Dave, you said you were gonna make music, so go about making the music. All right, Dave? Thank you.
There's a...
Dave, that just sounds like you're playing Home on the Range over and over again, but terribly. Well, Dave, you know, maybe the people want to hear something unique, something original. Is that okay? One moment. I don't know. It looks like he's doing something. I mean, his body's made of harmonica, so Lord only knows. Yeah, I do. Alright. Catch you later too, Dave, I think. He is leaving. Alright. Well, that was interesting. Good to see a person come back, you know. Glad I didn't scare him away.
0%.
And we're back, dear listeners. Well, Dave the Harmonicron was quite a pleasant musical person. Quite pleasant indeed, listeners. Now, we have some quick updates on a few things. We're going to get into Nuckchuck's journey. Listeners, I have not been keeping up with the parts. Don't worry, next week I will tell you what part is what. My apologies. I just realized. Now, listeners, news-wise, we have big, big news. Yes, big news. We have changed our formatting, and our wavelength parameters have changed to ensure that you do not get possessed by thought demons ever again. This is to ensure and remove all liabilities from ourselves. If you summon your own thought demons, well, that is your prerogative and your fault. Do not blame us for those thoughts you are having. They are all yours. Now, let's get into Nuckchuck's journey. As we left off, the dwarven group, led by Old Beard, and a blacksmith named Norka, had come across a crack in the ground, in the wall, that looked similar to a crack in their dreams. It was half caved in, and they were unsure if they could get anything down it. And they got one of the spelunkers to go and check it out. And they waited a few moments. And they waited a few more moments as there was a scrabbling and a scuffling. As the spelunker came back and stated that he had seen the richest cavern of his entire life down there, and even showed a couple of small jewels that were pebble-like that he had picked up from the floor just sitting there. And all the dwarves thought this was very good indeed. But how were they to get there? As others pulled out pickaxes, the eldest of the priests stepped forward and he said,
Now. Y'all should let me. I, of course, am the eldest of the Earth Wizards, and a crack in the ground is nothing for a wizard like me.
And then he waved his hands, and the crack blew wider, and then it was arched and had lovely, lovely tile stone additions to it, and entire statues of what the dwarves assumed was the eldest dwarf in his younger days, outfitted in plate mail with the robes of his priestoral duties over. And his piercing eyes were exactly the same, even though the eldest dwarf in his over 8,000 years of life had become nigh but something completely not like a dwarf. He was stooped very, very heavily over a cane, and most of his hair had fallen out, and his beard was scraggly and all white, and he shone pale, pale as the moon, with deep, deep sunken eyes, but those eyes still shone with an intelligence that Nuckchuck had rarely seen in any being whatsoever. As the rocks finished their crescendo of movement, the dwarven party stepped forward with all in tow as they proceeded down the meticulous hallways, lighting the braziers as they went, because the eldest had thought to include such things, which the other dwarves were quite proud of him for, and the archways were simply beautiful, listeners. He writes here that they continued until they came upon a cavern that blew his mind away. It was a cavern of gemstones and stretched as high as he could see and was almost 40 meters in diameter. They gawked at such a sight, and it was a perfectly round room with a pedestal in the center that was both broad and tall. There were gems of all sorts coming out of the walls, and the dwarves wasted no time immediately pulling out their gem cutters and going to the walls, and the room was immediately filled with the sounds of the tink, tink, tink of hammers and pickaxe as they proceeded to mine. Nuckchuck says many hours passed this way as they sang dwarvy tunes, mainly about all the riches they would receive from this gem collection they were gathering, and that even the smallest percentage of this was enough for a king. We all agreed, Nuckchuck says. And Elbeard and Norka, as well as Thalias, called that the night should come to an end here. they should camp and document what they have gathered so far, and not rush into this and gather too much stone at one time. Binal, the leader of the Dwarven Expedition next to Albeard and Norka, agreed that this was a good idea, and they all bedded down for the night. And that night, Norka had a dream of an emerald stacked upon an amethyst, stacked upon an emerald, in a place that was hidden yet not. It was in the room that he was in, and he woke up from this dream with the knowledge that they existed. As he looked around, he saw the pedestal that stood in the center of the room and realized that pedestal's dimensions were the exact dimensions as the emerald, amethyst, and emerald that he had seen in his dream, and proceeded with hammer and chisel to walk over to the pedestal, ignoring the carvings that were upon it, and cut at the pedestal. Hellbeard woke up and wondered what he was doing, and Norka explained that he had had a dream, and in that dream there was treasure behind this pedestal. Elbeard agreed to help him figure out if this dream was indeed true, and they broke the pedestal apart and discovered an emerald and an amethyst standing there, the emerald on top of the amethyst, and they collected them. After some time, by now the rest of the camp had woken up. Everyone had gathered to see what they were doing. As they looked upon the last emerald embedded in the floor and proceeded, the entire group working together, they pulled up the emerald. And when they pulled up the emerald, the entire floor cracked and it fell out from under them. And they knew nothing. Till next week, dear listeners.
Hi there, listeners. Cassidy here, asking if you would mind sharing our stories and bringing them out there to the masses. Tell your friends about us. And of course, if they say no, hack into their computers and put it there. Not you. Now, listeners, if you want to help make the podcast better, you can always go to anchor.fm/ROKWIND, and that will lead you to our own little page on Anchor. Well, listeners, I've got to get back to finding my new victim, my new interviewee.
Good Meadlebrocks, everybody. My name is Mr. Cassidy, and I am here today with Mr. Ralph. Now, Mr. Ralph, well, he's a Ralph, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, Mr. Ralph seems to be a bit upset. He comes from Iosphere 263, and there, things aren't quite nice. I enjoy it, but, you know, normal people, maybe they don't. So, Ralph, please, tell us about yourself and what kind of situation you find yourself in.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cassidy. My name's Ralph Nordstrom, and I'm a young pest, Mr. Cassidy. I'm a slow pest, Mr. Cassidy. You got no idea. They're destroying everything, Mr. Cassidy. They thought the nanites would be a good idea, Mr. Cassidy. But the nanites went wrong, Mr. Cassidy. They went so wrong.
Tell us about these nanites and how wrong
did they go? Like, what types of nanites? Mr. Ralph, you're not giving us a lot of information.
I'm trying, Mr. Cassidy. Look, they were nanites meant to improve oneself. But now instead, they just invigorate ones and do lumlingata. And make you experience the most frustrations and pains and aggravations.
Oh, you say your Indulam Lingata is highly, highly infatuated, like it's inflamed, or it's being treated, you know?
No! They made it bigger! Oh, I made it so much bigger, Mr. Cassidy. All we want to do now is attack each other. I don't even know why. It's just angry. Stump your toe, break the mirror. Break the mirror, break the wall. Now your wall's broken, Mr. Cassidy, so you break the furniture. Next thing you know, you're breaking your car, and then you're out of a job.
Well, have you... I mean, Mr. Ralph, that sounds horrible. That is there no cure for what is happening to you, Mr. Ralph? Are they working on anything?
Working on something, yes, Mr. Cassidy. That's what I'm here today for, but raising awareness. It takes a lot of willpower for us to come out in the public and not smash your face in. Sorry about that. That storm out there is just... it's invigorating and it's just... yeah, it's pissing me off.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I just can't turn it off on a whim, though I wish I could, Mr. Ralph. So, do you have anything that you wish to share with the audience, Mr. Ralph? Maybe?
There's nothing I'd like to share, really, except nanites. Make sure they're programmed to resist solar flares! Because if the sun flares and it screws up their programming, you've got a bunch enlarged Indulam Lingatas. Nobody wants an enlarged Indulam Lingata. You should see the crocodiles, Mr. Cassidy. They've gotten so much worse. Everything has an enlarged Indulam Lingata.
Well, Mr. Ralph, I hope that we can help you out today at Roquandia Radio as a special thanks to coming on our show and trying to bring awareness to this. Here is a file, and in this file, you will find, once you upload it and pass all the proper, you know, checks, you know, you like make sure you don't download the Ask toolbar, and, you know, you don't want the ad blocker, or maybe you do. But, you know, once you finish with that short little things of you may or may not want on your machine, then the cure should upload to all the nanites around the world. And remember, you have to agree to the licensing agreement 5 times. And it will ask you on 6 separate occasions if you're sure you wish to install. You have to click accept every time. And remember, you have to click accept with the left mouse trigger and the right mouse trigger in simultaneous order. Do you understand, Mr. Ralph?
Lord, the menus and all the clicking and then the decisions on what to accept and what not to accept. And they're always asking you, you know, those piss off regular people, Mr. Cassidy. How the hell can we get the cure out of this, Mr. Cassidy? What the hell are you thinking, Mr. Cassidy?
Well, I'm thinking that it would be quite hilarious to watch a world filled with angry people deal with annoying digital red tape.
Damn you, Mr. Cassidy!
Goodbye.
No!
And we're back, listeners. That Ralph guy seemed to be very, very pissed off. I have to say, a Indulam Lingata that's extremely enlarged, well, in the entire world's like that? Like, even the bees? Nah, I don't want to live in a world where bees have enlarged Adulamgadas. I don't know about you listeners, but even the ants and the bees, ugh. Oh, pissed off mosquitoes? No. All the snakes are mad? I don't know, listeners. I don't know. But I do know one thing, listeners. Whenever you're unsure about something, you should take Surex. Surex. Because it ensures that your suredom is sure to come. Surex. Brought to you by the makers of paninis. Well, listeners, I wish I could tell you what happened last week, but I have no idea yet. Though I have found splatters of blood around, and there are some ripped up pages. But I think it's best if we leave it alone. Yes. Now, for a bit about my lawn.